May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 938. When thou, my righteous judge, shalt come to take thy ransomed people home, shall I among them stand? Shall such a worthless worm as I, who sometimes am afraid to die, be found at thy right hand? 938.
please the Lord to bless the reading of his word to the profit of our souls this morning. Let us read from the prophecy of Jeremiah and reading chapter 17. The prophecy of Jeremiah and reading chapter 17. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with a point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee. And I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn for ever. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful day, thou knowest. That which came out of my lips was right before thee. Be not a terror unto me. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. Let them be confounded that persecute me, But let not me be confounded. Let them be dismayed. But let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil, and destroy them with double destruction. Thus saith the Lord unto me, Go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by the which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem. And say unto them, Hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah, and all Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, Take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers, but they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear, nor receive instruction. And it shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day to do no work therein, then shall there enter into the gates of this city kings and princes sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places about Jerusalem and from the land of Benjamin and from the plain and from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices and meat offerings and incense, and bringing sacrifices of praise unto the house of the Lord. But if ye will not hearken unto me, to hallow the Sabbath day, and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. May God instruct us from his holy word and help us now to call upon his name in prayer. Let us all pray. Most blessed and eternal Lord God, do grant that we may be favoured to know what it is to enter into the holy place, to come before the mercy seat through the shed blood of the Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray therefore that as we desire to come in prayer today, we may be blessed with that favour that the Lord Jesus Christ stands between in garments dyed in blood. And so we pray, gracious God, that our prayers may enter in to the Most High God. And Lord, we desire to come this morning in accordance with the Word of God, to come with true thankfulness for every blessing and every favour that we each have received and do receive. And Lord, may we be therefore grateful today for the many things that we have and enjoy in our natural life, for the blessings of health and strength which has enabled us to come together this morning. And we pray, Lord, we may be able to come truly with a thankful heart to acknowledge the mercies and the blessings of the Lord toward our soul. And we pray therefore, Lord, as we've come together at this time, that it may be to hear what God the Lord will speak to our souls. And then we pray, Lord, be not silent unto us, lest if thou be silent unto us, we become like those that go down into the pit. Lord, we pray, gracious God, then, that we may realize today the favor of our God, the mercy of the Lord, the compassion of our God, the love of our God toward us, unworthy as we are of the least favor of the Lord. But we do pray we may know the blessed and gracious work of the Holy Spirit in our midst today. O Lord, we plead for it. Lord, without it, we shall worship in vain. But O Lord, we plead the promises which thou didst say thou wouldst send the Comforter, thou wouldst send the Holy Spirit. And O we pray, Lord, today, we may prove and know the truth of the Word of God. And so, Lord, we pray then that our hearts may be touched today, that we may not come and go in the same way, but we may know that the Spirit of the Lord is here by the effect that Spirit has in our heart, moving our heart, cold as it may be, unconcerned as it may be, rebellious as it may be. Oh, we pray, gracious God, that we may know the effectual working of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we are so thankful when we are able to observe it. And we're thankful for those times when we have observed it. And we pray there may be many more times when we shall observe it. And we pray then, Lord, that today may be one of those occasions when, through thy mercy and grace, thou wilt condescend to visit our souls with thy salvation. We pray, gracious God, that all the poor things of this life, all the vanities of this life, may not be allowed to intrude. They may be kept away, kept at bay, so that by the Spirit of God we may come and worship in spirit and in truth. And to this end we earnestly pray that we may know what it is to be drawn to the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may know the drawing power, that power, Lord, which is outside of ourselves, that power which we cannot produce, but we're thankful to know that power belongeth unto God. And we pray, therefore, that we may enjoy the sweet and blessed privilege, even today, of being drawn unto thyself by those bands of love. O gracious God, do then look upon us and visit our souls with thy salvation. We would be thankful, Lord, for the Word of God, for the great truths it contains. O Lord, we're thankful for the Word we read together this morning. Lord, we realize the Word of God is a searching word. It is a blessed word. And Lord, may we know that It is that word which is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. Oh, gracious God, we pray today that we may know the blessed effect of the sword of the Spirit. Oh, Lord, affecting us in our lives. Lord, may we each have that true concern today for ourselves. Where shall we spend eternity? May we have cause today indeed to consider our ways. And, O Lord, to be able to observe and conclude that the Lord is gracious to us. The Lord has set his love upon us. We may know the truth of those glorious words, yea, I have loved thee with everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And Lord, we confess our utter helplessness and inability to produce any life in our souls ourselves. But we're thankful to know that it is the prerogative and power of Almighty God to dispense life. And we pray therefore, O Lord, that each one of us today may have an evidence that we do possess the life of God in our souls. And we're thankful we've been blessed with natural life, but oh, we pray we each may have the evidence of spiritual life. And Lord, we pray each one of us today may be concerned, the children, young people, middle-aged and old, grant we may all come together and join together in that true and living desire, as those ancient Greeks came to Philip and said, sirs, we would see Jesus. And therefore we pray, Lord, today, that that desire, and may it be a desire, may be worked out for the honour and glory of our God. Lord, we are before thee this morning, individuals. Oh, Lord, we have a different case, a different life, a different need. Oh, Lord, do come and meet those needs today, so that the name of our God may be lifted up and honoured and glorified, and we may go on our way with praise in our hearts to our God for his mercy toward us, for that grace which we have received. O Lord, we pray then that we may be favoured today with those positive evidences in our souls, so that we may know by the grace of God that we are Jehovah's choice. Lord, then bless each one. We pray then that thou would be gracious to them. And Lord, as they gather here week by week and Lord's Day by Lord's Day, we pray, Lord, that they may come hungry and thirsty for the things of God. They may be on the stretch, but they may look forward the Lord's Day is the best day of the week. But they may be sad when the end of the Lord's Day comes. They may look forward then to another Lord's Day. And we pray then, therefore, that they may truly feed week by week upon the word. As thy servants come and declare the truth, we pray may prove to be week by week that manna for their souls, that water of life, which shall do them good. And so we pray that this place, individually and collectively, may be as a watered garden, a place where there is true flourishing, true feeding, true blessing, true fruitfulness in the things of God. O Lord, may we all realize the need there is of fruitfulness in our lives. And we pray that we may ever be concerned for the blessing of the Lord to rest upon us so that there may be that fruit which shall be for the honour and glory of God. And Lord, we desire and have that concern that these things may not be for our own natural satisfaction, but, O Lord, may it be for the honour and glory of our God. And so, Lord, we earnestly pray for the blessing of the Lord, which maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. We pray, Lord, for the deacons. Help them, Lord, week by week to continue in their position here. May they be encouraged in their labour of love. Be with the little church. Help and bless them. And may they indeed live in love and union one to another. We pray for the congregation. Gracious Lord, work powerfully in the heart of everyone. And grant, Lord, they each may be able to come and declare what thou hast done for their souls. Oh, we pray, Lord, none may be left out. None may come to the end of their life and lack that possession of eternal life. Oh, gracious God, cause each one to plead mightily unto the Lord that they may have the evidence of life in their soul. And so we pray, Lord, that they will be gracious to the congregation, that there may be that living desire and that God-honouring, confessing their sins and pointing to the Saviour's blood. Oh, gracious God, we pray for these blessings. Oh, do them good. Then, Lord, we pray they may be provided with a pastor, Lord. Oh, Lord, thou knowest their concerns, perhaps the lack of concern, but we pray, Lord, they each may have a prayerful concern that there may be a pastor who may be raised up to come and to preach the gospel week by week to them. They may be built up in their most holy faith, established in the things of God, fed by the word. Oh Lord, we pray for these things. Lord, is anything too hard for the Lord? Oh Lord, we know that nothing is too hard, and we pray that in these things there may be a wonderful coming together, a wonderful union of desire and a consensus of opinion with regards to this situation. Oh Lord, do then hear us when we pray for these blessings, and grant that there may be continually a real desire that this may be fulfilled. O Lord, then do great things, we pray. And Lord, we come and pray for the Church of God worldwide, not only in our nation, but Lord, throughout the nations of the world. We recognize, Lord, there are many who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, who do not enjoy the cozy environment that we have this morning. Lord, many have to face great opposition, sometimes from their family, sometimes from their community, sometimes from the state. And Lord, we pray for such. They may be enabled to press on against all the adversity and realize and know the blessing of the Lord in their souls. Those who are in prison, in uncongenial situations, grant that their light may gloriously shine in those prisons, that their light may have a great effect upon the fellow prisoners. Those who've lost loved ones because of the truth's sake, who've been executed, we pray for their families, we pray for their churches. Lord, we confess it's quite hard for us to fully understand such situations. But we know, Lord, it continues to occur day by day. And so we pray for our brethren in these situations. And we pray, Lord, for the servants of the Lord as they preach the gospel throughout this world, whether to two or three, whether to hundreds. Grant, Lord, the word of God may be a great blessing to many souls, and the name of our God honoured and glorified. We come home, Lord, to our own nation, recognizing that in the past we've enjoyed so many blessings. And now, Lord, as we look around, we're so sad continually because of the evil which exists. So sad, Lord, about our government's desire to continue to walk contrary to the word of God. But, oh Lord, we're thankful we have a God who is omnipotent, a God who rules and reigns. And we pray, gracious God, if it could be thy will, that yet we may know the blessed restraining influence of the Holy Spirit, so that the devil is not allowed to bring to pass those laws contrary to the law of our God. Particularly we think of that marriage union. We're thankful, Lord, for those who voted against it in the Commons recently. And Lord, as the bill proceeds to the Lords, we pray, gracious God, there may be those raised up to speak against it and it may not be carried. And know, Lord, that all the efforts of evil men may be defeated. Oh Lord, put to confusion all those who would desire to walk contrary to the word of God. Oh Lord, have mercy upon our nation. Have mercy upon our Queen. We pray for her still. We're thankful, Lord, for thy goodness to her. Oh, richly bless her soul. Enable her to stand firm for the truth. And as she speaks week by week to the Prime Minister, she may be able to give him good advice that he may take on board. Oh, gracious God, have mercy upon our Queen. And so, Lord, now we come and fall in the hands of our God. Lord, leave us not, neither forsake us, O God of our salvation, but do grant thy favour, we pray. Forgive our every sin, we ask it, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 324. Though troubles assail and dangers affright, though friends should all fail and foes all unite, yet one thing secures us, whatever betide. The Scripture assures us, the Lord will provide. 324.
Thank you.
bless us together this morning as we consider his word. And let's turn to the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 17, and we'll read verse 9. The prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 17, and reading verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? This may appear to be a very negative verse, but in fact, although it may appear to be negative, it is, in truth, a very positive verse. And the reason it is a positive verse is that it shows to us something of the reality of real religion. And what I mean by that is that if our religion is just superficial, by that I mean just of the flesh, doesn't really emanate from our heart, then such a word as this will mean nothing to us. We won't really understand what is being spoken. But if we do possess the gracious work of the Spirit in our heart, we shall understand a word like this, and we shall understand more and more the truth of this word as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. It is a very sad statement, a very true statement, a statement which makes the people of God sad and grieve over the evil which dwells within. And sometimes it causes us to perhaps cry out from our heart, can ever God dwell here? Now then, if that is so, then we should be thankful that the Word of God describes such situations so that we may recognize that we may have thought we were rather an odd individual, and how can I possess the grace of God if such a situation exists? Well, here we have the testimony of God's word, which is instructive to us to inform us of such a truth. Our heart, by nature, is indeed, and this is a very powerful word, isn't it, deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. That's the statement of God's word. Now, that's not something that is palatable to the natural mind. It's not palatable to those who are outside the grace of God. They do not want to accept such a statement as that. And their heart is as bad as that, as terrible as that, deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. And yet, if we are possessors of the grace of God, then the Spirit of God will show us something of the evil of our heart. And as we grow spiritually, we will find more and more evil within our heart and the deceitfulness of our heart, which we are so ashamed of. And it will make us cry out more and more unto our God. Well, this morning then, let us not be discouraged by a word like this, but let us be encouraged if we can observe that this is the work of God. And the next verse tells us, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. And the reins mean the innermost feelings, our minds really, the reins. And that's the Lord. He does. He searches us and he tries us to see whether our religion is real or whether our religion is false. Now, that will mean sometimes passing through God's fire. That will mean burning up that which was false, that which was deceitful. You see, we can so easily deceive ourselves. Now, we don't want to be deceived, or at least I hope we don't want to be deceived. We don't want just to settle down in a religion which is just comfortable, that we can just go on day by day with nothing to ruffle the water. We just go along through life satisfied with our religion, satisfied with just an outward performance, satisfied with just our religiosity, and yet not possessing the true grace of God. And so we understand, perhaps, that a word like this is a very separating word. It separates between the chaff and the wheat. It separates between that which is just of the flesh and that which is of the Spirit. And so may we be able today to conclude, as we come to the end of our sermon this morning, the Lord is gracious, and he has not left us to carry on in the calm of this poor world, but the Holy Spirit has come upon us, and that Holy Spirit has been a quickening spirit, and that Holy Spirit has directed us to our true state. Perhaps one of the best examples of this is God's servant David. Well, I'm sure we are familiar with King David. We may be also familiar with his sin, those sins which were so clearly set before us, especially the sin of his adultery with Bathsheba, and following that, the murder of her husband Uriah. And we might think, well, David, that was a terrible thing. Well, so it was. So it was. But we need to be clear that left to ourselves, we are no better. And also, our heart is no better. And if we are honest, we will have to confess that we've committed adultery and we've committed murder in our heart, and that we are therefore no better than David. Now, David, he tried to hide his sin. What does that mean? It means he was being deceitful. And you and I may try to hide outward sin. We may try and hide inward sin. We may try and pass it over and ignore it. You know, one of the great weaknesses is this, is when people say, well, that's my besetting sin. And what I mean by that is the sin which does so easily take hold of us. And sometimes people seem to settle down in a fleshly carnal ease to say, well, that's just one of those things, it's my besetting sin, instead of crying unto God for mercy, they may not be kept found committing what they may term a besetting sin. We all have weaknesses, and the devil knows those weaknesses, and those weaknesses are different in each of our lives. We don't have the same ones. The devil knows what our weaknesses, and he homes in on those things and endeavours to make us sin again and again. And left to ourselves, we just pass over And that's why we have this word, the heart is deceitful above all things. We deceive ourselves into acknowledging that it's not very important. Every sin is important. No sin is unimportant. Don't think it is. Because every sin separates between us and our God. It brings a division. Now, coming back to David. David thought he'd hidden his sin. You see, he didn't actually commit the murder of Uriah himself. You may be familiar. But what he did, he got the his commander to go and to put this man Uriah at the forefront of the battle, a place where he was almost certain to be killed. And David thought, well, that'll be all right. I'll do that, and no one will know it's me. Well, God knew it was him. God knew who it was. And God knows your sin and my sin. We can never hide sin from God. However small, however great that might be, we can never hide sin from God. And if we think we can, we are deceiving ourselves. And then it will be a blessing if God comes and points to us, like he did to David, and said, thou art the man, David. You remember Nathan the prophet came to David and spoke to him the parable of that lamb. And the parable was just very simply was, there was a rich man who had many, many sheep, many lambs, and he needed to have one for sacrifice. And he came and took a lamb from a poor man, the only lamb he had. David was very cross about that, very angry. But you see, when the prophet came and he said to David, thou art the man. Oh, David couldn't then escape. The arrow of conviction went home to his heart. He was convicted. Now, what a blessing it is if the Spirit of God comes in that way and reminds us of a situation and we are convicted by the Spirit of God. And then it is that we understand. The Spirit leads us to this position. We come and we say, yes, my heart. Religion is personal. Don't pass it off. My heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Well, what was the effect upon David? And what would be the blessed effect upon you if you know something of the work of the Spirit of God in your heart? It'd be like this. David says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, and according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. He was not under any false impression. He knew where he was. The Spirit of God had come and entered in and convinced and convicted him of his need of mercy. Well, let's ask the question this morning. Do you understand what David's saying here? You come pleading for mercy to God. Now, you see, this isn't a big show. This isn't something to impress people. What a great person you are. This is something between your soul and God. Wash me throughly. He wanted to be cleansed. Wash me throughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. Yes, this deceitfulness. Oh, it was terrible. He needed to be cleansed. This is the effect when the Spirit of God comes and shows us something of our heart. Ah, the sins which are there. the sins which we thought were hidden, the sins perhaps which we didn't realize were there. Sometimes God shows us things we never realized were sin. Well, the heart is deceived above all things and desperately wicked. And so David goes on and he says this, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Against the Lord. That's the sin. Now, leading on from here, the great favour will be this. If this conviction of sin, this deceitfulness of our heart, doesn't just stop there, it leads us to see the need we have of forgiveness. Because without forgiveness, we are condemned. We are condemned to eternal hell. We are an unforgiven sinner. We need to be saved. Where must that direct us? To the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this, you see, would have the effect, David said, against thee. Against thee, he's God. That's who he'd offended. That's who he'd sinned against. He was guilty before a holy God. So as you and I may stand guilty before a holy God, we can't now justify ourselves. The arrow of conviction has come right into our heart. And we now see how deceitful we've been, how evil we've been. We've offended Almighty God. And the cost of our sin has meant that the Saviour had to suffer in our place in order that we might be forgiven. Now you see, this puts a very different complexion on our sin. This produces a very different effect, because I believe the result will be to make us truly sorry for our sin, because it's caused the Saviour to suffer instead of us. You see here, David's able to say here, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Then he says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, in the heart. Yes, in the heart. God desires truth, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. The Lord looks right into our hearts. And it's a blessed thing. It is a blessed thing. It's not a comfortable thing, but it's a blessed thing to know that God is dealing with us. And he's dealing with us as sons and daughters of the Most High God. He's dealing with us in this way to direct us to the evil that's in, within us, deceitfulness and evil. And then to realize, yes, Almighty God, he desires truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And how are we to be cleansed? How are we to be washed? We can't cleanse ourselves. We can't wash ourselves. We're helpless in and of ourselves. How are we to be cleansed? How are we to be washed? It's only one way. Through the blood of Christ. Through the blood of Christ. Now, if you and I know the depth of this deceitfulness, the great pile of sins against a holy God, I believe then it will be that we'll understand something of what the Apostle Peter said. And he knew the effect of it when he was able to declare, "We're not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from our vain conversation, received by tradition from our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ." You see, everything else we'll have to leave behind. What a blessing it is if God shows us the deceitfulness of our heart, that we're desperately wicked, and leads us to the precious blood of Christ. That will be a glorious and wonderful outcome. You know when that occurs. But understand then what David says. Make me to hear joy and gladness. That's the good news. We look out of ourselves. We're lost and ruined in the fall. We look out of ourselves to the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. You see the effect of this, when that Spirit of God works and shows us our hearts deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, it is as though our bones are broken. We fall down before God as wretched and undone. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. And then we come to this prayer. Well, it's all a prayer, isn't it? Create in me, again, personal religion. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. What a great statement that is, isn't it? What a blessing it is to be brought there, to realize that we need to have this favour of this clean heart created in us. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. Perhaps we had a wrong spirit. So the Lord looks in our hearts. And my friends, when that Spirit of God comes and shines into our heart, we might find that we've had a wrong spirit. We've had a wrong spirit. We've had self. Self has been there. We wanted self to be lifted up. We wanted self to be important. We wanted self to be thought well of. And we find that that opinion of ourselves has been separating. We found it's destroyed our communion with our God. And bless God then when He shines in our heart and we see the deceitfulness which is there and how foolish we've been and how we have to come then and cry to our God, "Oh, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And what is a right spirit? A right spirit is a Christ-like spirit. A Christ-like spirit. Yes, and the Lord Jesus sets before us, does he not, a wonderful, a beautiful example in the Word of God as to how you and I today are to live our lives. The Lord Jesus, he pleased not himself. Oh, he pleased not himself. He went about doing good, Yes. What did he do? He did his Father's will, whatever the cost. That's the example we have. The Saviour did his Father's will so that his Father might be honoured and glorified. He came to do his Father's will. Now, my friends, if we see that Spirit of God directs us to see the evil of our heart, the deceitfulness which is dwelt therein, and we find that we haven't been following the Lord as we should. Oh, we've been just satisfying ourselves, pleasing ourselves, content with our own way, our own life, not concerned about following the Lord, not concerned about doing the will of God, more concerned about what people think of us than what God thinks of us. What's our concern this morning? Is your heart deceitful? Is it desperately wicked that you're more concerned about what people think than what God thinks? Oh, when the Spirit of God comes and shines into our heart, you know, it shines right into the recesses. Things that we didn't realize were lurking there come to the surface. All the evils. Yes. We can't say anything. As it were, we're speechless. We come and fall down before our God. Like David did in that psalm. He came and fell down before his God. The heart is. It is. It's true. You may not know it, but it's true. And may you know it. And may you all know it. May you all come here and be able to say, I understand now what Jeremiah writes in his prophecy. I understand now. Oh, I'm in a desperate case now. I need mercy now. I need salvation now. I was resting in my own religion. I was being deceived. The devil is the greatest deceiver. And he always has been. And he always will be. Go back to the Garden of Eden. What did he do? He deceived Eve. What did he say? He raised the question, has God said? Oh, my friends, and he's never ceased from that day to this. He never will, this side of the grave, to try and try and deceive us. And how successful he often is. You see, we listen to our own reason. Our own reason. Don't you listen to your own reason. You listen to the Word of God. You listen to your own reason and you'll be deceived. Because you have a sinful heart, you listen to God's Word. You listen to what the Lord has said. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The devil doesn't want you to acknowledge this. Because if you acknowledge this, you've got to look to the Saviour. He doesn't want you to look to the Saviour. He wants you to continue satisfied in your natural life. Satisfied with just an outward performance of religion. My friends, God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. You know, when Samuel came to anoint Jesse's son to be king, and the eldest came and stood before Samuel, and God said to Samuel, look not on the appearance, for God looketh at the heart. And my friends, we can easily misjudge people by the appearance. In both ways. We can misjudge people when we think they're a holy, righteous person, when in actual fact, they're absolutely the opposite. They're just a complete hypocrite. And then we can judge the other way. We might judge someone as being an ungodly person. In actual fact, they may be a godly person. Remember, God looks at the heart. Man judges by appearance. God looks at a heart. It's important that we realize that. And because we have a deceitful heart, you see, we are apt to judge by appearance and not to desire that God will direct us to come to a right conclusion. A right conclusion. You see, we can be hoodwinked very easily. We need the Lord to give us grace to discern that which is right and that which is wrong. Remember then, the Lord looks at the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And he goes on to say, who can know it? What that means is, by ourselves, we cannot know it. It's only as the Spirit of God reveals it to us. And my prayer this morning is that every one of us may have the work of the Spirit within us to demonstrate that we do know the truth of this word, that your heart and my heart by nature is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But it will not stop there. It'll drive you to Christ. It must do. It must make you cry out to God. Cry out to God for mercy. Cry out to God for forgiveness. That you might indeed have, as David said, a clean heart and a right spirit. Create in me. Oh, if I've never had it before, Lord, grant it now. If all my religion has been wrong, if it's all false, if it's all the flesh, now give me a real religion, a right religion, a God-given religion, a religion that will land me in heaven to sing the praises of the Saviour forever and ever. Not a religion of works, relying on what you've done. When you come to the day of your death, you find you're lacking. You find you do not possess the grace of God. You find you're not depending upon the precious blood of the Saviour. You find you're depending upon your own works for salvation. Look to Jesus, firm and strong. There's the only refuge. A refuge for sinners. The gospel makes known. 'Tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. And when the Lord leads and directs us, we won't want to go anywhere else. Because we'll want to honour and glorify this blessed Saviour who's taken us in hand and hasn't dealt with us our sins deserved, but has shown his love and grace and mercy toward us and caused us to seek his face. Oh, it'll be a time of praise and a time of thanksgiving. We concluded this chapter, you may have noticed, with the statement about the Lord's Day, the Sabbath. The Sabbath, keeping it rightly. We live in a day when the Sabbath, the Lord's Day, is counted as virtually nothing. And many people continue and please themselves and satisfy themselves and make umpteen excuses. The Lord's Day is a holy day. It's a day to be kept. A day when God is to be worshipped. And I want to refer to it just in this way. They were told not to carry a burden on the Lord's Day. I want to bring it like this. As you and I come to worship, have you come this morning to worship? And have you brought with you a burden of the world? Have you brought into chapel this morning a burden of the world? You might say, what do you mean by that? What I mean by this is this. All the concerns of the week, all the things that you've been worried about, perhaps your bank balance, perhaps what you're going to do here and get out of this difficulty. You brought it into chapel this morning? Have you been thinking about that this morning as you've been sat here listening? You say, I can see you all here. I've no idea if you're really listening at all. You may be thinking about everything else under the sun. Just because you sit still and appear to be listening, you may not be listening at all. You may have brought in the world in here this morning. The burden, you brought it in this morning. Now you say, that's condemned. My friends, you come before God. You enter in here this morning, you know it's no light matter. It's no light matter to mock God and to pretend you're worshipping when in actual fact you're not. And so it'll be a blessing thing this morning if the Spirit of God comes and points the finger into your heart and you have to say, oh, Lord, that's me. I now understand a little. My heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I am the man. Oh God, have mercy upon me. Oh God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Now bless God if the Spirit of God convicts us of these things and grants that religion, God-given religion, Christ-centered religion, directs us into these true and important things. You see, we come together to bow down and to worship the Lord so that He may be lifted up, so that He may be honored, so that He may be exalted. He is worthy. My friends, the Savior is worthy for all He's done. Oh, that our hearts may be moved this morning to come and bow down before the Savior, confessing our sins and pointing to that precious blood and say, behold the way to God. My friends, if the Spirit of God applies the word, we can thank God for it. If we're directed out of ourselves to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £590, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Hyde hopes to address the Sunday School this afternoon. Mr. John Rosio is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Richard Field next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday School. And our friends at Fanstatten hold their anniversary services on Saturday. Let us close with hymn 510, commencing at verse 2. O Lord, rebuke me not in wrath, thy anger who can bear? 'Tis heaven to live beneath thy smiles, thy crowns, frowns create despair. 510, commencing at verse 2.
Saviour, Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forever. Amen.